Don, all right, we'll start again. We're looking at the challenges for school libraries, and you might recognise Mr Mack and Mr PC. One of the challenges I've thrown out to people was to think differently. And certainly after the address that we've heard this morning, we know that there are a lot of changes that have impacted on learning that we need to embrace in schools and school libraries. So what are we dealing with? What are the stereotypes? What are the things that are stuck and the things that we might need to focus on differently? Here's a lovely seat that I captured in a church yard in the UK, and it's been there. It looks as if it's been there forever. And in a way, that's kind of what education's like. We heard this morning that we take technologies, but we tend to do the same things with the technologies that we've already known.
Hello, I'd like to order a French fries, a burger, and a milkshake. This is a library.
And I just love that because it kind of epitomises some of the core changes that are taking place and the perceptions that we have to shift in our school communities. Not to say that all our libraries are like that, they're certainly not, and when you hear Joan you'll hear that they're very different, but we also have school libraries in all sectors that are still in that other mould. And the change is really epitomised by what's happened in less than 10 years, the shift in technologies, the shift in the ways that we can work. But for us, what we do is look at our learning group and we still encapsulate literacy, information literacy, learning and all its dimensions, but we must embrace the use of technologies. So it's not just about using books and resources, but it's also about using technologies differently. Not necessarily the way that we've done before. Using Juicecast or using YouTube is what our kids will do. They will use their mobile phones, they will capture incidents if that's what they're going to do. Because we're not embracing those technologies, they'll put bullying in place instead. Or if we use our mobile phones as part of their learning environment, then we empower them to work differently. So when I talk with groups, I ask them to consider what they know about the Web 2.0, to call them give them their name. What do you know about those technologies? What do you recognise? How many of those are you actually using in your library environments? Are you indeed using any? Do you recognise any of them? And then as we go, drill down further, how many of them do you recognise? And as you drill down further, how many of them do you recognise? That's the issue. That's the world of our students. It's not just about using systems like LAMS, which are brilliant, but it's also about actually recognising what's beyond those interactive learning environments that we can use very productively. This is really, I feel like, a really nice little video from Cisco that tells us about the human network, the world that our students are operating in.
Welcome to a brand new day. Welcome to a place where maps are rewritten and remote villages are included. A place where body language is business language. Where people subscribe to people, not magazines. And the team you follow now follows you. Welcome to a place where books rewrite themselves. Drag and drop people wherever they want to go. And the phone doubles as a train ticket, plane ticket, or lift ticket. Welcome to a place where a wedding is captured and recaptured again and again. Where a home video is experienced everywhere at once. Where a library travels across the world. Businesses are born, countries are transformed, and we're more powerful together than we ever could be apart. Welcome to the Human Network.
So the environment that we have our libraries in are either going to adapt to those sorts of human network concepts or they're going to become redundant. The notion of social networking that was mentioned this morning, the first revolution in social networking that we had was when we had the invention of the printing press, after which we had the emergence of literacy, books, and eventually libraries. In this century, or actually the last century, the emergence of school libraries in each education facility. It was about exchanging information, sharing information, and being productive. We've now gone to social networking in a very, very different environment based on computer technology. I think we had a question this morning about what happens with social networking in schools and education, and I think the answer was wrong. I happen to be, and you'll see this, a blogger that's tracked internationally, and one of the things that's actually happened in the last 6 months is that universities, both information studies universities and straight teacher education universities, some of those poor kids have to study my blog to learn about social networking, which is quite daft. I mean, they're on YouTube and MySpace and everything else, but they have to do a blog so they can put their essay in the blog. So I challenge that idea that we had this morning. That just shows you educators of my age taking technologies and pretending they know how to use them. Still haven't adapted enough. So that's my mission in life, is to actually get people to think a little bit younger, to work more effectively in those environments, because the world is flat. Social networking, global projects, educators working around the globe. It's not about what I learn today in my room and my classroom. It's about what I learn with my teachers, with my teacher librarian, but with my engagement with society. So that's the major difference. And how does it impact on libraries and school libraries? Well, just look at what's happening with technology. Just this week, we've had the emergence of the Amazon Kindle, the e-book reader, which, you know, has had a lot of hype. It's got a nice interface on it, better than the Sony one. But it's just showing us how those things are changing. You've got books on demand. You've got the espresso machine where you can actually go into some of the libraries overseas and say, OK, I'll have this book, thank you, and it prints it in 9 minutes. So you can buy your book that way. That's the changing face of libraries, if you like. The digitisation of the resources that we have for our students and the access via the ubiquitous Google. One of our challenges, of course, as librarians is to show that searching is not just about Google, but it's about cognitive ways of acting with different search engines. And if you go to Pandia Search, you'll find hundreds of productive uses of search technologies. So there are a lot of things there. So our job as in libraries, whether it's school libraries, tertiary libraries, public libraries, is to change the way we promote and deliver access to literature and to information, change the way that we serve our students. And Joan's after me, and she will give you some great examples at the school level of the way you can change your integration into the curriculum as a good teacher librarian. It's not rubbish. I didn't like the comment this morning that there was a lot of hype around the concept of digital natives and digital immigrants. It's a fact. I know that because I work with teachers, and I could say it's 1% of teachers that actually get it, and the rest of them never will. Actually, half of them never will. They will have to retire. And in the course of the next 10, 15 years, we will actually see the changes in education. We are getting further and further behind what our students do. But we can save ourselves now. But 2 years from now, we've had it. So we've really got to work hard on this. We've got to work with libraries to serve the future kids. They use technology. They work with technology. They are technology. It's not technology, it's them. We're the ones who go on about technology. Ubiquitous connectivity, working with whatever's available, and there's new things emerging all the time. It's just great stuff. And that's why we have a mandate to change. We've got new priorities to work with. If you have a look at the way mobile phones themselves have been changing and the potential they have for delivering information, for example, who's driven that? It's not us. It's not the people who own the companies. It's the young people, the people that we are serving in schools. if you look at YouTube, if you look at WordPress, if you look at any of those products, how did they get invented? Not through those kids going to school and learning. They learned because they needed to expand their social networking and their technology skills. So it's the youth that are driving the technology changes, not us. We might have the money, those of us who are in companies and so on, to deliver, but the innovation comes from elsewhere. So we need to connect with our audience, our kids, our customers, and our services. So they don't need to talk about technology the way we do, they just use it. Where does that leave us? Well, leaves us to hang out to dry or to embrace the new priorities, of which there are many, and which are really fun. You know, it's really exciting to change the way that you think about the way you can work with your school libraries. Take it as the central concept of individual. Now, it's not a trip about egotism. It's not about making myself a priority. It's about connecting with others who support you. So, for example, the use of Facebook by a number of tertiary public libraries, Second Life organisations, the National Media Consortia, or me, or you. We've got all sorts of potentials for connecting. So I use my Facebook contacts very rigorously now to manage my professional development and to manage the innovations that I'm part of. But amongst my group, and Jones knows this, there are no others except one or two who are actually on Facebook and working at that level. So they've got a long way to go. And if you're not on Facebook, you've got a way to go. Lots of fun things to explore. So let's go to the Library of the Future. One of the things we spent some time last year exploring in our schools was the concept of new spaces, and you're going to hear more about that in the conference today, so I don't need to address that. New collaborations, new spaces, new designs, new ways of delivering the book resources with a fantastic new Macquarie facility, etc. That's one of the core things that school libraries have to address. The different uses of spaces. But even if you change the use of spaces, it's not sufficient without actually changing some of the conceptual underpinnings of the work that you're doing in those spaces. So in terms of what we use, we use content management systems, and Joan again will refer to one that we use in the Parramatta Diocese. Every education organisation has some answer to content management systems. So whether it's LAMS or whether it's Moodle or whether it's Blackboard or whether it's CBT, whatever it is, there's some answer. They are still last century answers because by and large they haven't really jumped into the interactivity of social networking. So what we try and do with our school library developments and with our teachers is to acknowledge the value of a system like LAMS, and LAMS is better than the one that we happen to use, acknowledge its value, but also to acknowledge that there are other things that you can do and actually to create that blended environment. So that's the same for school libraries. We need to have a look at the role of blogging, of wiki spaces, collaboration in those. Now, a number of those platforms, wiki spaces, wet paint, voice threads, and I'm not going to have time to talk about what they are, but just hear the name of those. They now have education versions that are available for educators and libraries to use without advertising, so that there is every reason to use them. They have the facility to collaborate, they have the facility to share and to be private and to be public. So there are many, many options, many new approaches. So this represents a kind of a wish list, an entry point, if you like. We're not recommending, certainly, that everybody use everything that's available, but we identify one or two tools. And I remember being out at Jones School last year, I think, and seeing the great use. I always talk about the great use of the students who used MySpace. So she's going to talk about that. There are just lots of fantastic ways of getting the kids involved and actually genuinely using these tools differently, not the way we might do if we hooked our old learnings on. So it's about conversations. Remember the human network, the new conversations, and it's about having a voice for all of those participants. We need to have the teacher's voice heard and articulated. We've got excellent bloggers in Australia, teachers who articulate their thoughts, their ideas, their experimentations. They demonstrate what their students have done and they show their work. Likewise, those students interact with the teachers and show what they are doing. We have librarians, strong librarians in Australia in the public library sector who also use social networking very, very well, both in terms of tools like blogs and wikis, but also in Second Life. There are a number of us who are moving into Second Life and trying to determine the best ways to support information delivery, to support learning for students. And about our conversation, bottom line, it's our conversation. So Michael Stevens, who's a well-known information science lecturer in the States, you can see the sorts of identities. When you start moving into the social environment, you do have an identity in Flickr, Library2, Twitter, Facebook, many, many of them, and I've got lots of them, and I can list them as well, and I can't operate without them. And good teacher librarians and librarians shouldn't be able to operate without them either.
Let's talk a little bit about the culture of participation. There is still an economic divide about who can have access and who cannot.
So information used to be a place apart. It is now a part of every place.
A powerful global conversation has begun. A new kind of critical reading skill is necessary in the era of the search engine.
The value or the potential value is to meet new people, to interact with people. So overwhelmingly awesome that you know, you're willing to give up a level price.
So the annotation of everything is upon us.
I use Facebook with my students. MySpace gets Google scale traffic, and YouTube, last I looked, was serving over 100 million videos a day.
MySpace has become the primary exchange hangout place in the United States.
Things like MySpace are, you know, they're part of the firmament. You're talking about, you know, Los Angeles, it's always been there, right? MySpace, when I ask them things like, well, what about Friendster? They go, what? So that was 2.5 years ago.
Really? If you don't have a MySpace, once you post it, you don't exist.
We used to learn how to keep current, now we need to learn how to experience these technologies and put them into practice. I think we have a tremendous opportunity today, and it's not going to last for a long time, to make use of the natural enthusiasm of today's young digital natives.
The notion of public that's going on in these sites is fundamentally different than the ideas of public life that we have as part of everyday society.
This is a process in which these footprints we leave behind don't melt and go away. And they're aggregatable and analyzable in profound ways.
Think about how libraries can do the same thing and how important it is for libraries to do so.
Intervention.
By educating. And I think libraries in that is going to be central to 21st century civic education.
So the question that we have as educators is how do we go back and teach teenagers what it means to be a part of a society rather than just pulling them and they have to behave this way or that way.
The challenge for librarians, I would say, is how to move to higher ground when the deliciouses and the digs and the slash dots of the world are in your space and are going to organize the world's information themselves, but you're the pros. What advantage can you offer them? What guidance can you offer them? So the need for information, guys, is only going to grow.
So we look at a core environment, the same that we've always had. We look at increasing the sorts of tools that we have for disseminating information. We take the taxonomy of school libraries and public libraries, or any library for that matter, and embrace other technologies which include folksonomy, the use of tagging to disseminate information. There are many issues and topics within those headings that need discussing, but you can see it's a raft. What you're seeing on the screen is a raft of tools that were not part of our coursework when we got our qualifications. They're completely different. Using RSS feeds, there are so many things that need to be included. So we're talking about embracing new technologies, building on those technologies to create physical and virtual services. We're talking about using eventually virtual services, for education. So you've got two down the bottom there, Jocadia and Schoolaborator, Australian initiatives. One's the Schoolaborator is a school-based initiative working with a number of our schools to explore learning in those environments. We're going to skip that video because we're out of time. So we're looking at a focus on creativity, not productivity. Assessment for learning, not assessment for skills acquisition. Information technology that supports that and that supports teachers. For example, with databases, we can actually support our teachers by having RSS feeds going to them out of the EBSCO databases and other databases for the latest literature. A little bit like that video that we saw this morning, information being delivered to your computer through the services that the library staff have been able to facilitate, rather than waiting or going to the resource. There are many key questions to cover, and we don't have time to look at them, but essentially the needs that are changing are the needs that have to be addressed. So if we haven't identified the needs that have changed, then we have a problem. And people like Joan can talk about those needs and show you how they've changed the work that they're doing and the magic that happens as a result of that. Make decisions around the tools that you're going to use. Start a blog for use blogging tools for book reviews, for disseminating information, for professional collaboration, for students. I've been doing this now for over about 18 months. And I found that the professional development out of that has been pretty impressive. Here's an example that we tried desperately to set up to go to, and I'm just going to show you as a departing thing. One of our teacher librarians has been running a website. Let's see if we can bring it up that way. It's gone away again. And she's using it with the students to provide all sorts of things, the usual things like the RTA filtered test, Sydney Morning Herald, book sites. It's a very rustic, on-the-fly, develop-as-we-need-it website as she experiments. But you can see she provides research toolboxes there. She has tag clouds down the side for delicious links, the library thing she's using to actually stash books and demonstrate use of books in the library in various ways. She has a book club blog, a library blog, the catalogue is online, available online. She has podcasts appearing on the front page for initiatives that have happened, and so on and so forth. DelaneyLibrary.com is worth watching to see how she's working on a shoestring without any particular professional support, just doing what she needs to do to inspire the students to get involved. The students own this process. They're involved, as you can see, in all sorts of events that are happening. So it's a true blend of website, information delivery via the catalogue, and using new tools to actually promote the work of the library. And you have others here. A great example here of a book review blog. These are very simple things that all school libraries and other libraries should be embracing. It's not going to load, so we won't wait, because we're on a timeline here for the next speaker. Collaboration tools like Ning, Wikipedia, MySpace, lots of things, using Twitter to communicate. If you don't know what Twitter is, do some Googling and find out about it. But you can see it's a way for me to communicate with Catherine Greenhill, librarian in WA, Stephen Abram, librarian in the States, Judy O'Connell, librarian in Sydney, and an actual library that uses it to send information out to its clients. We use bookmarking ideas in all sorts of ways to share information, create delicious links for particular topic areas. You've got lots of significant libraries around the world using these technologies now. Smart Delicious Cloud. So moving away from hard copy delivery, photocopy delivery of information to virtual filing cabinet. That's your in-tray down there called an aggregator, and it's pulling in all that information. You replicate that for your people in the schools, and they each have their virtual in-tray, and they're receiving information sometimes from you and sometimes from other sources. Why is it important? Because what the kids are going to be doing is going to be different at schools. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, RSS feeds, I'm sorry I haven't got time to explain. Go do an in-service because it's lots of fun. Change your concepts around cataloguing. It's not just about authority files anymore. It's about allowing the people who use your catalogue to create their own terminology as well. Are there more challenges? There are lots more. And LibX from Murdoch University is a great integration of Firefox browser right into the library catalogue and into other systems. So the people don't have to go to the library catalogue. They have got their Firefox browser open and everything is integrated into their browser that way. That's probably one of the most exciting developments that I've seen. So it's going to be great. So evaluate your global library experience, embrace Web 2.0 technologies, preserve the notion of knowledge and community. I'm not suggesting that we do away with the core understandings of what good libraries are about, but you must experiment with creative spaces and search technologies in particular to change the way that you work if you're going to meet the challenge of being Mr. Mac instead of Mr. PC. Don't stay in your box, jump out of it. Go and enjoy the opportunities. Early next year, there'll be a book, Information Literacy Meets Library 2, being published by Facet. I've written a chapter on School Library 2, but the other chapters in there, I highly recommend getting hold of a copy of that to see what is actually happening in the landscape of libraries around the world. And that's me on a rapid roller coaster ride. Thank you.